You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Yeah, it's an interesting offseason for the Nationals coming up here because they've been so successful in the last 5 years, three division titles, second most wins in baseball, but they obviously haven't been able to close the deal. So they're kind of in this weird place where, you know, it's do we kind of retool and gear back up with the guys we have, or do we make kind of a major splash to kind of try to push forward and get over that kind of proverbial hump to not only get to the second round, but to eventually reach the World Series. So, you know, the Nationals are always a team that you have to watch for in the free agent, even when there's not a clear need. A couple years ago, of course, they didn't let their starting pitching was all stacked, and they went out and signed Max Scherzer to a seven-year deal. So the biggest things for them going into is number one, going to be closer. Mark Melancon is leaving as a free agent this year. They traded for a midseason, and they are going to be involved in the free agent, those top-tier closers. Kenley Jansen, Rolas Chapman, and probably even Mark Melancon. They've had interest in those guys before, especially Chapman. They were one of the teams that were in on him near the deadline this past season. So wouldn't be surprised if they make a play for one of those guys. The price might get a little too expensive for them. So, I mean, you could see them possibly going to one of the second tier, so to speak, closers. Mark Melancon, they definitely like what they saw from him. So you could probably see them kind of go for to try to re-sign him, I should say.
I think everything that happens with the Mets this offseason revolves around Yoenis Cespedes, and they need to figure out pretty quickly, certainly quicker than they did last year, whether or not they're going to re-sign him, if they're going to bring him back. Because if they do, that colors their budget, that colors everything else they can do this winter. And if not, then they pivot towards how do we replace this guy, both in the outfield and certainly more pertinently, in the lineup. So the Mets certainly have some things to look at here. And Cespedes aside for a second, they have a question mark at catcher, where they have said they were not necessarily going to be that aggressive. We've also seen them change in the past pretty quickly. I think certainly it's a position they could upgrade. Second base is a position where there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And Neil Walker, who was on the team last year, the Mets just made him a qualifying offer. And Neil Walker is a decent bet to return, but if he does not, do the Mets simply look internally to what they have, whether that's T.J. Rivera, Jose Reyes, Wilmer Flores, or do they go out and look in free agency? If there's one area in free agency where the Mets definitely will be active, I think it's the bullpen. Certainly, Jiris Familia's suspension makes this only more true, but they have a little bit of weakness in terms of their depth there, and while the Mets aren't likely to go out and start pursuing the top flight arms out there, whether that's Aroldis Chapman or Mark Melancon or Kenley Jansen, I think a next tier down will be a good place for them to shop, and I think they will be active there looking to fill in some of the bullpen gaps that they have.
The Atlanta Braves set out this offseason saying we got two goals, and it's pretty simple to get one starting pitcher and then go get another starting pitcher. And they were going to scout the free agent market. They were going to explore the trade market. But free agency was the preferable way to go because they are loaded with prospects. They have all kinds of young pitching in the pipeline. Their young position players are ready to go. They're moving into new ballpark next year. They're in a win-now mode. And I think general manager John Coppola, his goal was don't give up any of those prospects. Let's see what we can do in free agency. So now they have an agreement with Ari Dickey, 42-year-old Ari Dickey coming back to the National League. And if you're a Braves fan, here's what gives you hope. One is that he's been Ari Dickey has been with Toronto the last couple of years. At home, he struggled. His ERA was over 5.28 in 15 starts. On the road, his ERA was 3.56 in 14 starts. So, you know, if you're a mad scientist, you can say, look, pitching indoors on the artificial turf in Toronto wasn't the best thing for his knuckleball, maybe the cold weather, whatever. Get him into a hot, humid Atlanta summer, and even at 42 years old, the knuckleball will flutter all over the place. He's pitched a lot while he was with the Mets against the National League East. He knows the lay of the land. Beyond that, this is a guy that is beloved in baseball. And the president of baseball operations of the Braves, John Hart, was with the Rangers when Ari Dickey came through there an elbow injury was diagnosed, and they told him, you might want to go to the minor leagues and learn how to throw a knuckleball. And he has proven he is as good as anybody that's ever done it. He has, until this year when he threw 169 innings, he had thrown 200 innings or more in five straight seasons, including 233 innings at age 37 in 2012. He is a meticulous worker. He'll be good. In a clubhouse, it's got Freddie Freeman and it's got Matt Kemp, a veteran presence to go with all those kids. Ari Dickey will be a great fit. And what they need is innings and giving the team a chance to win. And Ari Dickey provides them with both of those. It's a pretty good day for Atlanta. Now go get that other starting pitcher, John Coppolella.
The Phillies definitely want to take a step forward this offseason and next season. And so I think they're going to try to do a few things. I don't think they're going to do anything major. And by major, I mean, you know, go out and get a Yoenis Cespedes or even an Ian Desmond, you know, guys that are going to take a 5-6 year deal and want over $100 million. The Phillies just aren't there yet. They don't want to block any of their young players that they still want to get a look at. So what I think is going to happen is they're going to try to find at least one corner outfielder that can play every day, but somebody that's not going to be linked to a long-term contract, you know, either, you know, maybe a player on the rebound looking for a short-term deal, 1-2 year deal, like maybe a Matt Holliday, for instance, maybe somebody available in trade, you know, Howie Kendrick could be available in trade, somebody along those lines that can, you know, help improve the Phillies offense, which was the worst in baseball, but yet also not hold them down to a 3-4-5 year deal that might prevent somebody like Roman Quinn or Dylan Cousins or any of their other top young prospects, prevent them from getting some playing time and development time at the big league level. And the other thing I think they're going to do is they're going to try to continue to improve their bullpen. They made the trade the other day for Mishek from the Astros. They're going to pay him $6.5 million this year, which is a lot for a relief pitcher, but they have a ton of financial flexibility. So they're very comfortable doing that. And I think they want to at least add, I'm guessing they want to add at least one more type of veteran reliever to help that bullpen, because that bullpen really struggled down the stretch last season as well. So, kind of recapping, if I had to put money on it, I would say a corner outfielder at least and a reliever or two. I think that's the best bet in terms of what direction they're going to go.
Shortly after the season ended, the Marlins opted not to bring back Lenny Harris as their third base coach. And pretty much at that time, Freddy Gonzalez was high in their list to bring back to Miami and put him at the position that he had coached at under Bobby Cox and did such a great job at in the early 2000s in Atlanta. So Freddy Gonzalez, after being dismissed by the Braves mid-season, early in the season, I should say, is back in Miami. And although it's kind of well known that, you know, Freddie got dismissed as Marlins manager in June of 2011, that it, you know, that people assume that he had a little bit of fallout with ownership. But as it turned out, you know, Freddie left the organization overall on pretty good terms. As you know, he has South Florida ties, having grown up here, down a high school in Miami. Freddie was one of the Marlins' first managers in their minor league system when they came as an expansion team back in 1993. He was on the coaching staff in the late 90s. He coached in the minor league systems with the Marlins. So a lot of familiarity. And it also, just bringing Freddie back, you're bringing, you know, an experienced baseball guy, obviously a manager at the big league level, a calming influence who kind of fits the personality of Don Mattingly's calming personality, as well as experience and familiarity with a number of players that are still in the organization. And, is just part of Don Mattingly just enhancing his staff with a veteran presence.